soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on March 31st, 2015. I've been finding God sovereignly confirming His word to me. These are things that I've been pondering on or various texts in my heart. And then I will come across a text that absolutely confirms the general message the Lord has been speaking to me. And how I love that. I'm so thankful and appreciative. I love the Lord being my teacher. When I first came to the Lord as a disciple in 1981, I was reading that in the Psalms, that the Lord is my teacher. He's made me wiser than my teachers. And I thought, Lord, you be my teacher. And now I have realized over the years that that is what God's will is, that He be our teacher. He'll teach you. But we have to walk in the little to receive more. We have to walk in the light that He gives. We can't be disobedient. We can't be unbelieving or hold back. We can't have fear come in, fear of man. But we have to choose to love the truth, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't compromise for anything. Treasure, cherish the truth of the Lord. These are treasures in your heart. Like the Lord said that He would send scribes that had treasures. And we have things that are new and things that are old. But we're not to cast our pearls before swine, or what is holy before the dogs, because they'll just walk on it, not appreciate it, and then turn and tear you to pieces. So we got to be wise, guided by the Lord. Now, sovereignly. The other day, I opened to Acts chapter 10, and I read the story about a devout man named Cornelius. He was not Jewish. And it says that he was devout, that he gave alms to people, that he prayed to God always, and he did righteousness. That's a very unique person. God saw this, and God loved him. But he needed to hear the gospel of Jesus, because this is how God has ordained our salvation, through preaching, proclaiming, through His word. God has revealed His word through preaching. This is what we're told in the New Testament. So God sent an angel that appeared to this man and told him that he was to hear from a man that the Lord was going to make arrangements that he would hear a message. And then God had to deal with Simon. Now this is fascinating. Simon Peter had been taught by Jesus for 3.5 years. And after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit had been given, this day came to pass where God was sending Cornelius to Simon to hear the gospel. But Simon would not talk to this man because he wasn't Jewish. This is this thinking that Simon had, the prejudice in his mind and his understanding. God had to give him a vision to make it clear to him that it was God's will for him to receive this man. He came with three, there was three of them, and proclaim the gospel to Cornelius, even though he was not Jewish. Well, the Lord let this vision, and it was three times. The Lord said, kill and eat. And it was these unclean animals. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm not going to eat that. I don't eat unclean things. But it was an analogy. It was a parable. You know how the Lord teaches us in parables. Don't call thou unclean what is I've cleansed. Finally, he realizes, I perceive that the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. I perceive there's no respecter of persons. Yay. This is the gospel that Paul had. He took the gospel to the Gentiles. But it's interesting, because Jesus did go minister. And it was there was people, Samaritans, there was people all through the religious land of Israel, Judah, the regions. that did love Jesus, received Jesus, saw his mighty works, and heard his wonderful words. In fact, there was crowds of people. We're going to talk about this. Listen. This wonderful story. So Cornelius comes and gets to hear Simon share the gospel of Jesus. How wonderful. And that tells you, if you really seek the Lord, if anyone would really seek the Lord with all their heart, they will find the gospel. The Lord will make a way, one way or another. And the Lord's done it. There's other stories too. Praise the Lord. So the Lord's desire is to save you. And there have been great crowds. And let's think about that for a minute. Think about the crowds as you've read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of these great multitudes, the people that would throng him. When Jesus taught the parable of the sower and the seed, there was a great crowd. And Jesus was telling them, if you really consider the story, Matthew 13, he's telling them, all of you that are hearing me, most of you are not going to be saved. Some of you will be happy with my message, but you'll give up because of persecution, affliction. Some of you will be really rejoicing at first, but you won't understand that the devil will steal it. Some of you will hear the word and it'll grow for a while, but it'll be choked by cares of life, lusts of things coming in. Some of you, the word of God will bear fruit in your life, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. This is the heart. It's the heart. So we want to really take heed. We want to examine ourselves, because here's what I find just so horrible is that what Jesus said, he said there would be many people that thought they were in eternal life or that would be saved, but find out way too late that they're not. They're not in with the Lord. They're on the outside. That's horrible. Let's look at this, what Jesus said in this regard. Matthew 7, 21 and following. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Goes on and talks about a wise man that Jesus said, that hears the sayings of mine and does them, is like a wise man that dug deep, built his house upon a rock, had a foundation, and when the storm came and beat upon that house, it remained. But the fool hears the sayings of Jesus and doesn't do them. But see, this is a good illustration of what I'm talking about today. There's many people that hear the words of the Lord but don't do them, and they think they're saved. They think they are, but they're not. They're self-deceived. Now let's look at Luke 13, 24 and following. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now this is really interesting. There's a lot of people trying to get in to the kingdom of God, but they won't be able. I mean, today, how many do you really think multitudes of people sincerely desire the Lord to enter the kingdom of God? No. People are very satisfied just doing their own life, do their own thing with pursuits of the world. It's really not that many people that really have an interest in the things of the Lord. But regardless, there's a lot of people that are going to say they knew the Lord. Now let's read this. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, that's the time when there's no more time. That's it. You're either in or you're out. And I was been thinking about that. It's like tightrope. People play tightrope, Russian roulette. They walk tightrope with Jesus and Satan. They play with both. They're playing a game. They're playing with their eternal state. they're playing a game of death. When once the master of the house is risen up and shuts to the door, you're either in, you're either out. It's like musical chairs. And he says, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a universal call to all people, like we pointed out. God's not looking for a bloodline of Jews or Judaism, a religion, any kind of ism, Catholicism, Protestantism, any denominational ism at all. He's looking for the house of prayer. There's one faith, one calling, one Lord, one baptism by which you are called. There is fellowship with godly people of like mind that are in the cities. And we're to have fellowship, partnership with God, God being our Father, Lord Jesus Christ being our Shepherd. And as our eyes and ears are open to Him, we listen to His voice. He does have ministries that are gifts of Him, of His life. But they're not lords over us. It's not religion. They're not making merchandise of us. They're like Jesus the Lord. They don't eclipse Him. They don't replace Him. They're not antichrists. Praise the Lord. But the Lord is saying, look, you're to strive to enter in the straight gate. How do you do that? The time comes when the door is shut. That's it. And when you're not watching and you're just pursuing your own life, you are blind and you don't see it coming. And Jesus coming comes like a thief in the night. And Jesus said, if you knew when the thief was coming, you would watch. Well, that's His calling, is to watch, to be alert. So Jesus is saying, strive. It's not working for your salvation, but it's being careful. It's sitting under the influence of Jesus and being obedient to His words. It's not he that says, Lord, Lord. It's those that do the will of the Father. It's not those that listen to the words of Jesus. It's them that do His word. Are you doing the words of the Lord? Are you following your master? Are you picking up your cross, denying yourself, and following Him every day? So when you're in fellowship with the Lord, He knows you. But if you're not in fellowship with the Lord, He does not know you. And He'll say, I don't know your origin. I don't know where you come from. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? There's works of faith, and there's works that are dead. God told Saul, King Saul, that obedience was better than sacrifice, and to hearken was better than the fat of rams. That's sweet smelling to the Lord. Don't offer to God strange fire. Don't offer God your slop. He wants you to walk as an obedient son like Jesus did. Many, many, many are going to be shocked. So today, I'm removing the shock from why people are going to hell. There's people that choose to go to hell. There's people that choose the devil. There's people that worship the devil. But there's people that were religious that thought they knew the Lord and did religion and did good things, but they did not have fellowship with the Lord. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. to examine yourself. And we're told to do that. And we got to go over what causes people to lose out with the Lord. Luke 6:46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It's very logical, isn't it? And this is the same parallel as with Matthew 7, where Jesus talking to the man that hears my sayings and does them. You're either wise or you're a fool. Can you be a fool and be saved? In John 8, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed." Well, if you don't continue in the word, can you be a disciple? See, these are reasons why people aren't going to be saved. This is a reason why they've short-circuited. Because they didn't do what the Lord told them to do. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove yourself, own selves. Examine. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate?" Examine yourself. Jesus said, "Happy are you if you're not offended in me." Jesus is going to tell you like it is. Wouldn't you rather him tell you now than later when it's too late? Examine yourself. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Jesus said, "And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Do you notice this is repeated twice there? "And if your foot offend you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter a halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire's not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. Everyone shall be salted with fire. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Another Lord says, when the salt loses its savor or its saltiness, it's good for nothing. Isn't that true? If you had salt in your cupboard and it was completely bland, why would you use it? You'd throw it away. That's what the Lord's saying. He's called you to be salt. He didn't call you to be worldly in cahoots with the world. And we're talking about why people will never be known by the Lord. You're his enemy if you're not walking with him. If you're joining in alliances and allegiances and partnerships and having fellowship with darkness and with rebels that hate the Lord. Jesus told the religious system in the day that he came speaking from the Father. He was rejected. But he said in Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures?" This is from Psalm 118. "The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." This is Jesus. This is speaking of him as the stone. They're builders that are building religion. They're rebels. They're building in the spirit of Babylon, exalting themselves, making a name for themselves up into heaven, and they use God to do it. And the people are their consumers, and they're consumed of the builders, and they're being made merchandise and eaten as fodder by the false shepherds. This is all in the Word of God. Listen what Jesus said. "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, this is a parable, they perceived that he spake of them. Yes, indeed, he is good for you, as he was. But is he speaking of you too? Examine. Listen, what this message is that Jesus is that stone that is the corner. He is the head. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the chief apostle. He is the shepherd. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And he's saying, you better fall, which means prostrate, bow, humble yourself, be obedient, obey him, comply, yield completely to his word. Don't pick and choose. That's why Jesus will say, I don't know you. Many will try and not be able to enter in. Are you bearing fruit? In John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to the religious people, and it's amazing how people, they trust in things. They trust in their genealogy. They trust in, well, I'm American, I'm Christian. Or they trust that they go to a church or their affiliation or who they know or something or a ritual. They could quote the word. They stood up for righteousness in this chapter. They were against the woman that was committed adultery. But they were hypocrites. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and where I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and where I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. There's a unity between the Father and his Son. Is there a unity between you and the Lord? Are you in agreement? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you in agreement with the Lord? Are you separate unto the Lord as he has told you? I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father has sent me. He bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Yeah. Verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. They never understand. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolish to him. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. You know, Adam was out of the earth. Christ is from above. This is taught by 1 Corinthians 15, Paul. John chapter 3, you must be born again. Must be born from above. I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. There you go. That's our example. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. God's called us to be walking pleasing to him. Colossians chapter 1. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's an absolute proclamation of Jesus. The Jews, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." See, now they're into DNA, physical genealogy, which does not amount to anything, according to the Word of God, according to Paul, according to Jesus, according to John. How do you say you should be made free? Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham's our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." See, it's like father, like son. You know someone that's of God because they're godly, because you see they're fruit of the Lord. And you know someone's of Satan because you see the fruit of Satan. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." You know, this is what's said in 1 John chapter 5. That when you're begotten of God, when you're born again, how are we born again? Through the Spirit, by the gospel, by the word of God. We're begotten unto a living hope, a lively hope. You love others that are also born again. We're talking today, taking the surprise out of why people are going to hell. Because there's many people that were religious, thought they did good things, good works, prophesied, spiritual things, but the Lord does not know them. We want to make sure now that you know why, if that's your choice, and if you're going to hell, why? We've covered a lot today. You've got to, if you're not doing the will of the Father, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not in fellowship with the Lord, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you've not fallen on the rock, which means to obey the Lord, to submit to him, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not doing the words of the Lord, keeping the sayings of Jesus, if you're a fool, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you love this world, you're an enemy of the Lord. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go over that. That's what the word says, James 4:4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Can you be an enemy of God and be saved? Ludicrous. How do you know when someone is of the world? Because they speak of the world. This is in 1 John. When someone speaks of the world, they are of the world. When someone is worldly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Romans 8:7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So, if you're a carnal person, carnal mind, and if your flesh is alive and well, and you do all the sins of the flesh, don't be deceived. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. No shock. So if you continue without repenting and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, hating your garments spotted by the flesh, don't be surprised when the master says, "I don't know you," because he doesn't. Are you self-willed? Are you doing your own thing? We've just read where Jesus said, "I'm always doing what is pleasing to my Father. My Father's not left me." There's a unity, a harmony, walking pleasing to the Lord. You're in fellowship with him. You're in partnership with him. He's your God. He's guiding your steps. You're being led by the Spirit. Who's driving your bus? Are you doing your own thing? You're perverted. Your judgment's flawed. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is true because I seek not my own will. That's John 5:30. Those that are self-willed are like Saul. You're lost. An idolater. One that worships other gods, participates in the worship of other gods. You're an offense to the Lord. And the whole Bible's full of it. With the religious system of Judah and Israel, killing all the prophets, killing Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Yet they could quote Moses. And the same is true today. All the things that the Lord has rebuked about the religious system in that day is identical with the religious system that we have today in the official institutional churches. The businesses that are run, that are working in cahoots with the cabal of the apostate rebellious governments of the world with apostate religious leaders that love the things of this world and despise the Lord. They despise the anointing. They grieve the Spirit. They quench the Spirit. They're devilish. If you're a fornicator, you're like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And people have sold their right with God for flesh, for carnality, for sin, and have refused to repent and walk in that way. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you're a son and daughter, you cannot use your body, which belongs to God, as joining it in unity, sexual sin. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So don't be surprised. No crying. You love sex, sexual iniquity more than the Lord. If you're not going to continue in the word, you're not going to be his disciple. So these are the things, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this message is showing why people are in hell, where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And it'd be better to get removed the sin, Whatever it is, it's better to eliminate it and choose to follow the Lord than to go into hell and suffer eternal judgment forever.